Good morning. Pop quiz. They overcame by
blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony.
And the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. So I want to start out today, before I get into this, with a testimony that it's been 3 or 4 months ago, I gave a testimony about how my mom came through the radiation and how it didn't seem to affect her as bad as it affects some other people. Well, I got another testimony about a couple months ago. She went to the doctor. 2 months ago, she went to the doctor, and she is cancer-free. So my mom wants to thank everyone here for their prayers. I want to thank everyone here for their prayers, because prayer does work. Today's title is The Presence of God. And when Chris was giving his testimony and Pastor Roger was leading, the hair on top of my head was standing up. I mean, the presence, it was just amazing to me. So what I'm going to talk about today came to me about a month and a half ago. I was sitting back in the foyer. I was safety. And Pastor Todd started preaching. And I felt just like the Lord was talking in my head. And he says, you can't talk about the book of Acts and leave out Ananias and Sapphira. That's all he told me. And the spirit man, yes, you're right. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. I don't even know what that's all he told me. You know, I don't know why I'm so excited, why my spirit man so. I said, man, I got to talk to Pastor Roger. See, you know, maybe there's something in there he can bring out of this, or Pastor Todd. But the Lord worked it out, so I get to bring it. So we're going to start today in Acts 5. And you know, on your smartphone, you can pull up a Bible app. You can either read it yourself, or you can push a little button and you got audio. Well, today I decided we're going to do audio. So Acts 5, 1 through 12.
Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade.
Have you ever thought about what's going on here in 5:1? I mean, let's look what's going on. You got Acts 1. Jesus promises the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascends into heaven. Now we start having upper room prayer meetings. Okay, you go to Acts 2, you got Pentecost, you got the crowd's response, you get 3,000 men that come to the Lord, you got massive church growth. Okay, in Acts 4, you got Peter and John, it gets a little rough, they get arrested, you know, you can't be talking in this name of Jesus guy and stuff. Then you have community, which Pastor Todd talked about. The whole from 32 to 36 is talking about community. So, and now you get to chapter 5, and we got two people dead. Yeah, what happened here? I mean, it's all good times. Everything's good. Now we got two dead people. Well, I think we need to go to Matthew 16, 18 to explain what takes place.
And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
I think that's the key. In Acts 2, 1, when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus started building his church. Why did Ananias and Sapphira have such a harsh judgment and not the people of the temple, not the people that's working at the temple, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees? Why? They was sinning. They was doing wrong. What's going on here? Why aren't they falling over dead? Well, my thought is that even back in Samuel's day, the Holy of Holies wasn't holy because he wasn't there. Jesus talked about what they had turned the temple into: a den of robbers, a bunch of thieves. So the Holy of Holy was not there. The Holy of Holy was starting to build something new, and he called it the Ecclesia. Did you notice in Matthew he didn't say, I'm going to build the temple up and the gates of hell ain't going to stand against it? He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to build an ecclesia, and the gates of hell is not going to prevail. So I feel what the Lord was saying in the infant stage of the church, in its conception. Acts 2:1, he's laying the foundation. He's pouring the concrete. He's pouring it. There was no room for deceit. There was no room for deception in this infant stage. His presence was there. So, he says, why did Satan take over your heart? They had their own agenda in mind. I think they had their own, I want to be put in authority, or I want to be put in charge, or I want to say, look at me, I gave all this money. They didn't have God's plan in mind. It was all about them, the deception. And God says, I can't have this in this new movement. It's got to go. My presence is here. I'm holy. This cannot stand. So I believe that's what this was all about. And I believe, and they said, great fear came over the church. Could we call that a shaking? You know, Tim Sheets, for those that don't know, Tim Sheets is Dutch Sheets' brother. He's been saying for a while, I was listening to him one time, and he said that God told him, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. God said that judgment in 1 Peter 4:17 says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. So I believe that God or Jesus, Tim Sheets called it a reformation. I like to call it a remodeling job. I believe God is getting ready to remodel his church, to bring the church back to Acts 2:1. That's why the shaking. That's why the shaking in the church. That's why you see certain things going on in church, like certain pastors falling or this, that, or the other, and I'm not going to get into that, but the church is being shook. I have been shook. Has anybody in here not been shook since 2023, this year, you know? And what is, when you bore down into the shaking, it's because, in my case anyway, God was trying to get me to a deeper level of trust in him. And let me tell you, for a guy that's a fixer, that's tough. I see a problem, I analyze it, okay, this is what it needs to be fixed. But see, in 2023 and 2024, God put me in situations that I couldn't fix. You know, in 2023, we had an issue in the family, and I had certain family members say, hey, you need to go talk to this guy. Hey, you need to go talk to this guy. I'm thinking, no, I feel that right now prayer is what we need, prayer, because there is no way I can see that this is, if I go confront this person, it's going to turn out good. I see no way, no how that it's going to turn out good. But I know prayer will work. Let's get God on the scene. Let's put our prayers up and let's see what happens. So see, I had to do something. I had to stand my ground. I didn't have to rush in, because I truthfully believe if I'd have rushed in, I would have made the whole situation worse. But I stood my ground. I said, no, I think all we need to do is pray. And glory to God, it worked itself out. Another situation that I was just in just about a month ago, it literally drew me to my knees, because it was just that serious to me. I'm praying to God, tears are flowing. I'd say, God, I have no clue how to even start to fix this. I said, it's you. If this gets straightened out, it's because of you. What do I need to do? I had steps I had to do. I had to make phone calls. I had to do some things. I had activity, but it was the knowledge of God. And once again, that situation got fixed. It wasn't because of me, because I had no clue. I wasn't smart enough, but God was. So, you know, the shaking is a good thing. It is God reforming, reshaping his church. Because, like I was listening to Tim Sheets yesterday, and he was talking about revival and reformation. I didn't really know what reformation was, so I looked it up, and it says the action or process of reforming an institution or process. So he was talking about that, and he was talking about revival, and he was talking about that he feels you're not going to have to go to Toronto like they had the big move of God in Toronto, or you're not going to have to go to Brownsville, Florida, where they had the big move of God, or you're not going to have to go to Azusa Street where they had the big move. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be everywhere. You're not going to have to travel hundreds of miles. I do believe with all my heart that if you want to go to where there's going to be revival, where there's going to be healings, where there's going to be miracles, you're not going to have to drive any further than this church right here. I believe with all my heart. I believe it because I listen to the pastors preach. I know their heart. But more importantly, I feel that that God has told me things, that this is where it's going to be. Do you think that last Sunday when Pastor Todd passed out those sheets about the gifts of the Spirit, do you think that was happenstance? Or do you think that was God-led? Do you think that that was done just so you can circle some gifts and say, well, that's good. I'll work, and then throw it in a corner and not use those gifts. You see, it comes with action. When we got this whole sanctuary filled, that filled, upstairs filled, the foyer filled, the standing out on the porch trying to get in filled, it's going to take more than 4 or 5 people. It's going to take everybody. It's going to take everybody working together, as they talked about in Acts, one mind, one accord. If you see a brother in need and you have the ability to help with that need, do it. You know, it says, what good does it do that the scripture says that I pray for you, but I don't give you a loaf of bread when you're hungry? And I got it. Prayer is always first and foremost, but let's put it to action. Let's put our faith to work. If we see somebody struggling with a spiritual problem, let's get right in there with it. Put our shield to their shield. Put our faith with their faith. Fight the fight. You know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but I never knew the guy, Bob Jones. I guess he had a prophecy of a 1 billion soul harvest the Sheets brothers talk about it, and several other different people talk about it. I think the world's getting shaken because the billion souls or whatever is coming. Their world's got to be shaken to the point to where they say, there's nothing else. There's got to be something else. Everything I've tried has failed. There's got to be something else. And when the Holy Spirit comes in power, they're going to know what that something else is. That's why I feel the churches are going to be full. I feel that's why the shaking is going on in the church. And just like back in Acts 5, it's going to be the same today. God ain't going to bring all these souls to the churches just so he can make wolves fatter. And if you don't understand, that means wolves in sheep clothing. If there's a pastor that don't have the heart of God motivating him, if he's being motivated by money, by his own lusts and desires, I feel God's going to put him aside. He's going to bring the people that has God's heart number one and nothing else, because he's building something. The church may be old, but I believe we're in the infant stage again, because he's bringing something new. He's going to protect it, and he's going to trust it to people like Pastor Roger, Pastor Todd, Emmy, myself, Rosemary, everybody sitting in there. He's going to trust. If your heart is to do the will of God, then you are called and you have a job to do. Not just the pastors that stand up here, but all of us. You know, my prayer has always been, Lord, don't let me miss your movement or your presence or your spirit. You know, I don't want to see the spirit break out in a new way that, oh, that can't be God. That can't be what he's doing. That can't be. And let the spirit of religion maybe say, no, that ain't God. Because look how weird that is. Look how different that is. That's my prayer, because I don't want to miss being in the presence of God. I don't care what I do. I don't care if I'm holding the door open back there or I'm up here preaching. I don't care. I want to be in the presence of God. Whatever he needs, whatever he wants, is what I'm going to do. Because it isn't about me. It's about him. Because I have nothing to offer. The only thing I have to offer is the Holy Spirit that lives in me, that prompts me to say things, prompts me to preach things, prompts me to pray things. Because my wife will testify, there's really not much there after that. But what I'm saying is, we need to get prepared. We need to get ready, because it's coming. And I believe every message that has been preached is bringing us towards this end goal of the presence falling like never before. I truly believe that Pentecost, Azusa Street, Brownsville, Toronto is going to look like mild compared to what's coming. Because it's just not going to be in one little area. It's going to be worldwide. It's going to be breaking out in China. It's going to be breaking out in Iran. It's going to be breaking out in the United States, Mexico, Canada, Germany, Russia. And it's going to be wonderful. And I want to be a part of it. And I hope and pray. And I know our leadership wants to be a part of it. And that's all I have, Pastor.
This, when you started with the testimonies, and we can't do anything except what the, just kind of get out of the way. We were chatting on the phone, and there's a seed inside of this message that's shaking, that's going on. The concept or the goal of the Lord in this is that he's stretching each of us to a new level of faith in him. One of the ways that he stretches you is, it's not a sunshiny day. it's a rainy day. There's some type of trial that you're facing. You feel exasperated. You feel like you aren't enough. And the Lord literally is removing everything to see how you're going to respond on the inside. How many of you have had, it's as if the Lord is removing the things that you put your confidence in, and they're moving away from you. Am I reading it right? See, what happens is you've been putting your faith in something else other than Him, and that's called shaking. He's not crashing in on your world. He's just shaking some stuff around, and it's moving what you were putting your faith in is moving away from you, and you feel discombobulated, disconcerted, like, what am I doing now? And the Lord is using that to cause a stretching inside of you unto Him, so that this is how it happens with me. I'm just not a fan of trials. I'm just really not. I don't like them. I don't like having to put, I like to really feel good. But when I don't feel good, and I'm having to trust the Lord in the midst of the situation, there's options that come to your flesh and my flesh to go do something that would comfort the flesh, to do something that you would turn to something else other than the Lord. And the Lord's got His eye on that. And sometimes you just end up, you know what? I'm just going to stand here until whatever this storm is goes by, and I'm just going to cling to Jesus. And this is what happens. This is what I've noticed happens. There is a greater sense of authority left in you when the storm passes, because you looked to the Lord instead of yourself, instead of someone else. I believe the Lord is actually removing things to test your heart, to see when you feel lonely, what do? If you feel lonely, are you going to strike out at somebody, try to pull relationship out of somebody? You feel hollow, empty inside? No, what's God doing? He's saying, will you look to me? Is there anybody in here besides me thinking that He's actually removing what I used to put trust in? Let's go ahead and thank Him for that just for a minute. Say, thank you, Lord, that the root, what I clung to that wasn't not of you, you're removing that. You're removing, just go ahead and say, remove it right now. Right now, work in my heart and remove those things inside of me that I've been either secretly or outright looking to instead of you. I repent of it. I repent of turning to the world, turning to the flesh, turning to some old thought pattern, turning to anything other than surrender, complete surrender to Jesus. Now, this is what the Lord's doing in this. You're becoming something. You're going to become something. You can pretty well decide what you're going to become. Have you ever met really, really, really old people? It's a trip, because really, really, really old people, there's three reallys in there. They're either, if they walk with the Lord, there's such a joy because God has rooted all that bitterness and hurt and all that out of them. And there's such a pleasure to be around because they've devoted themselves to loving the Lord and being the Lord's. That's one extreme. The other extreme is they're some of the most bitter people that you could ever imagine. They get to the end of their life, and the older, the really, really, really old, can be just cantankerously bitter because they never surrendered their hearts. They became something. My question, what are you becoming? When the trials are happening, are you crying out to the Lord? Are you letting Him have you? When you feel discombobulated, do you run around complaining and trying to solve it on yourself, like you were saying, trying to fix it? Or do you just turn to the Lord and say, speak to me from your word, Lord. Help me become what you want me to become. Help me to be what you want me to be. I need you. Would you just turn that into a prayer right now? This is what the Lord's doing. With the shaking, it all has to do with what you're becoming. He's stretching us to be His. You had one way where you looked at life, and the Lord says, we're not going to look at it quite like that anymore because the times have changed. I'm going to deepen your heart for me. I'm going to release things in you that you need now. Let's just take a moment and let the power, the gift of repentance fill our hearts. Let the gift of repentance, it's bigger than confession. Repentance is a capacity that God gives you to actually be transformed. Just tell the Lord, it is my heart's desire to become what you want me to become. And in this moment right now, I'm asking you to shift some things inside of me. And I want to be transformed into your likeness. Forgive me for what I have put my confidence in that is not of you. I repent for trusting in old patterns of my mind. I'm so sorry. Remodel my mind. Transform me, Jesus. Now invite the Holy Spirit to come in right now with a fresh wind of His heart and His breath, His encouragement. There's burdens leaving people right now. Right now. Let God do the tooling. Let God do the work. Because He gave you a vision, but that vision, you got the vision in your mind and you figured out what it was going to be. And the Lord says, well, it's not going to actually be exactly like what you think it's going to be. I'm actually wanting to work in you so that I can have you completely, no matter what's going on. I can have you. I'm going to talk a little bit more because this is part of the shaking. Part of the shaking has to do with the temptation to be offended. Let me go ahead and say right now, it doesn't matter what you say today. It will be polarizing. The culture doesn't embrace the values of Jesus. Am I making sense? Now, I'm not saying run out and get in people's faces. I believe so much of the power of the authentic love of Jesus, so much in it, that when you show up caring about people, the Holy Spirit comes on them and begins to do a work, because that's lacking in the culture. True spiritual impartational love from God. God needs you as a vessel. That real stuff is unavailable in the culture. A pseudo love is out there, but not the real stuff. Not the real stuff. The real powerful love. And you cannot love with that kind of love unless you have been loved with it. People who are wonderful lovers of people have been wonderfully loved by the Lord themselves. Let's go ahead and turn to the Lord and say, pour your love into my soul. Help me bond with you in a deep way that I'm completely abiding in you all the time, like Jesus abides in the Father. Help me abide in you, Lord. Would you go ahead now, if you're baptized, just pray in the Spirit a little bit here. We're going to stand in a minute. Just pray in the Spirit. If you don't have that prayer time, just go say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Just say, I love you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I just draw my heart to you. I care about you. I love you. I need your help. I need you to be in my life. I need you to be in my life. I need you to, all that you are, Lord. I desire all that you are. I don't want some Christianese or some kind of a made-up Christian life. I want a kingdom life. I want to walk with Jesus in the fullness of, just like in the book of Acts. I want to be the person that hears from you, executes your will, does it, go through any kind of thing for the glory of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you go ahead and stand with me now? Let's go ahead and stand together. We've had a potent time here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If there's any other needs, you know, that if you feel quickened about that needed to be addressed, come on up and there'll be someone to pray with you. But we're going to dismiss here in a second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. I just have an awareness that certain burdens have come off of people, and I want to exhort you, don't pick them up again. Don't pick them up again. The only problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps crawling back off the altar, you know. When you war in the flesh, you were all about worrying. When you war in the Spirit, you're all about confidence and trust in the Lord. Don't pick it back up again. Don't pick it back up again. Learn that confidence in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Love on each other. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.